song. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. If you have an opportunity, and maybe I'll go to the song sheet and just read to you the words later on in the sermon, because it applies exactly to what we're talking about today. And we didn't plan that. Sometimes we do plan things like that, but I just kind of let the songs ride with what was suggested, and it fits in perfect to what we're talking about here. We'll come back to that here in just a little bit. January 1st, Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you. If you will, evening has come on 2022, and we've gone over to the other side of 2023. And I was thinking about this morning as I was talking with a couple guys from our Sunday school class. When we get to this point in the calendar year, there's a little bit of optimism going forward. This is going to be a great year, and as if last year really wasn't that great. Last year was just yesterday, well, just a couple hours ago. And Jared and I were talking this morning, and I think we pretty much figured out what people's feelings are when they get to this point of a new calendar year. Oh, this has got to be better than last year because we just came through December. I think we still have the taste of, yeah, it's Christmas and everything, but there is so much stress and everything that goes on with Christmas time. And how many family get-togethers do you have? And after about six of these things, you're pretty stressed out. So I imagine you're really looking forward to a new year, because how much more of this I can take? Maybe if we had Christmas in July, that may help out a little bit and help us not to feel so stressed and like we need a new start. But now that we're here, what are we going to do? The popular question that's always asked at this time, how will your life be different this year? When I woke up this morning, I didn't feel different. I didn't make any resolutions. I stopped doing that a long time ago. I've done nothing today that would make me believe that there's something different in me today as opposed to just a couple hours ago. But as the calendar year changes and we begin a new year, it's customary for us to focus on areas of improvement, but rarely do we recognize that there will be setbacks and there will be struggles. Storms, if you will. I want you to acknowledge this morning that storms will come your way this year. It's going to happen. And I want you to ask yourself the question, how can I weather the storm so that my life can be different this year? Before I go farther, let's just have a word of prayer. God, we give you thanks for such a wonderful day, and we give you thanks that we can trust you, that we can call upon you, and that we can test you time and again and know that you are faithful and true and that you'll do just what you say and that you're on our side, you're batting for us. Help us, Lord, in this next few minutes to gain spiritual insight the best that we can. Give us that insight to be able to help us to weather the storms that inevitably will come our way this year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I read to you the passage from Mark that we have, let's set the scene of this. Mark chapter 4 has to do with Jesus calming the storm. I just want to give you a little background here, and let's set the scene of what's happening here. It was a long, tiring day of ministry for Jesus. He was tired. He and the disciples got into a fishing boat and headed out to the other side of the sea of where they were, the Sea of Galilee. During a drought in 1986, archaeologists in Israel discovered this boat, the remains of a sunken fishing vessel in the Sea of Galilee that dated back to the first century. Now, although there isn't anything to tie this particular boat to the boat that Jesus and the disciples were in, they named it the Jesus boat. In all probability, this would have been the kind of vessel that the fishermen of the day would have sailed in and likely used, and the kind that Jesus and his disciples would have got into to go to the other side. Now, roughly, if that boat were here, it would be just a little bit longer, corner to corner from our stage up here. Not too much longer. I measured it this week. And it would be just about as wide as our stage here as well. Not a big boat, but not a small boat either. And maybe about 4 feet high or so, something like that. The Sea of Galilee, which is actually a freshwater lake that sits about 700 feet below sea level, is about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide, surrounded by mountains, and winds will sometimes come in off the Mediterranean Sea, down those valleys of between the mountains, bless you. And then when warm air and the cold air mix, and they meet in this natural basin there of the lake, it can turn the calm waters of the lake into violent, choppy waves, which is what happened that day, most likely. Now, one question I had when doing my research was, to whom did this boat belong? I don't think I'd ever asked that question before. Since the disciples gave up everything they had just to be with Jesus, the boat must have been owned by somebody else. Why is this important? Well, the boat would naturally come with a weight capacity. There's only so much stuff that you can put inside of a boat before it starts to push down. The more weight that you cram into the boat, the more precarious the situation may become out on the lake. Whoever owned the boat must have had at least one other helper to sail the boat back from where it came from. Now, the weight of these two men, or maybe another, and some fish shouldn't have put too much strain on this boat, but you put Jesus in the boat along with his 12 other disciples, and now then perhaps there are 15 people in the boat, about this size right here. At 15 people here in the boat, it starts to push down. The weight of the boat starts to push down into where the water level may not be 2 feet above the surface of the water, but maybe the top of the boat may only be a foot above the water. It makes a big difference when you start thinking about what's happening here. Cue the sudden winds, pushing the water across the lake, raising the crest of the waves even just by a foot. Foot and a half could really make the situation ripe for disaster and a miracle. Let's read our passage. Mark 4, beginning with verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke to him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Did the disciples know a storm was coming? At least four of the disciples were seasoned fishermen. Jesus had called Peter and Andrew, James and John, to drop everything and follow him and become fishers of men. These men had spent nearly every day sailing and fishing the Sea of Galilee. They would have been familiar with this lake and its weather patterns. And if they knew that a storm was coming that could have threatened their lives, the boat in which they were in, I believe at least one of them, probably Peter, would have let Jesus know this little nugget of information. "Hey, Jesus, this may not be the time to go to the other side." Did Jesus know a storm was coming that day? Absolutely. How can you say that? Well, Romans 11:36 says, from him and through him and for him are all things. He knew. You see, Jesus created the lake. He created the winds. He is Lord of all the seas and the winds and the waves and all of creation. Jesus led the disciples into the boat that evening, knowing that a storm was coming. Now, on this first day of 2023, I want to keep it real with you. And I want to be the bearer of bad news. I don't really want to be, but I'm going to be the bearer of bad news this morning. This year, storms will come and they will affect your life. And many of these storms, I believe, will be external things beyond our control. Many times the storms of life come when we least expect it, and we couldn't possibly have planned for them. Someone's storm this year might be a broken tractor. You don't want it to happen. You don't plan for it to happen. It's going to happen. Someone's might be a diagnosis of cancer, losing a job, a home burglary, a loved one never coming back, and so on and so on. These are things that we can't plan for. And often we hear people in the midst of a storm who might say things like, why is this happening to me? Or what did I do to deserve this? Sometimes we initiate our own storms. Sometimes we don't. Storms can come to us through disobedience, like Jonah. He found himself in a storm when he tried to run from God. But storms can also come to us through obedience, like these disciples when Jesus asked them to get into the boat. 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13 says this, "Dear friends, don't be surprised. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Notice from the passage that we read, nowhere in there does it say, it's going to be an easy trip. Jesus never promised that to his disciples. But Jesus was with them in the calm, and he was with them in the storm. And for you, there most definitely will be storms this year, for all of us. But your storm will not be too big for Jesus. Thinking back this past year, the one that just passed 11 hours ago, how did you react to storms in your life? Were you afraid? Did you worry? Did you ever, like the disciples, think that you were going to drown? I think that for most of us, there may be smaller storms that happen that don't affect us very much. They're pretty easy to get through. They may be more of an inconvenience than a storm. But there are times when something completely unexpected befalls us. And like the disciples, we realize that we are in big trouble and we begin to panic. Even those of us who normally have a more optimistic look at things. In verse 40, he says to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" This Bible's not written for just the disciples. It's written for us too. And he's telling us, asking us the same question this morning. Why are you so afraid? Why are we so afraid? Why do we worry so much? I could preach a month. Jody could preach a month on worry and fear alone. Maybe the whole year. Maybe we could take the thing like the book of John and just keep going with it. Because it doesn't seem like worry and fear ever end. Phrases such as do not fear, do not be afraid appear hundreds of times in the Bible. Much was said about worry then, and much is said about worry now. The journalist Irma Bombeck said, you may have heard this before, worry is like a rocking chair. Gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Amen. Go ahead if you want to say it. Say it. It's all right. Entrepreneur E. Joseph Kosman said, if you want to test your memory, try to recall what you were worrying about 1 year ago today. And writer Dale Carnegie said, remember, today is the tomorrow that you were worried about yesterday. And here some of us sit worrying about tomorrow, but you're making it through today, which is the very tomorrow that you were worried about yesterday. Think about that for a little while. Many people excessively worry and daily live in fear. But God gives us this promise in his word in 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety, cast all your fears, cast all your worry upon him because he cares for you. It's easier to say, it's harder to do. I want to interject this. There's an interesting phrase in verse 36 of this passage. I've read over it time and again, and I don't ever recall hearing anyone ever refer to this verse or phrase that much or at all. But I do think it's important for us to ponder, especially in the ways in which we interact with others who are going through storms and are seemingly worrying too much about it. Verse 36 says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. Any of you ever remember hearing that in the story before? I always assumed it was just the one boat. It was Jesus and his disciples going across, and we read over things all the time. Hey, slow down just a little bit. You'll be amazed at what you find out. I don't remember seeing him. So I started to ponder that. I started to think about that. And naturally, we tend to give our own personal storms, our own personal experiences, greater priority and importance because those storms affect us. We know our feelings and we know what the waves feel like as they come crashing over our boat. As Christians, having love and compassion for others, we sometimes encounter those who are going through a storm of their own, a storm in their own boat, that from all outward appearances may seem similar to our experience, past or present. In this passage, these other boats most likely were sailing to the other side as well, and could have been caught up in the same storm, probably were caught up in the same storm, but their conditions may have differed from those in Jesus' boat. Maybe they didn't have 15 people in their boat. Maybe they only had 3 people in their boat. When someone is going through a storm, we may not understand the magnitude of desperation that the other person is experiencing in their boat. Likewise, it would be the same if the roles were reversed. They may not understand what I'm going through. The reason that I bring this up is this. In our own loving way, trying to comfort someone in and through their storm, we may be making their storm worse, not better. Personally, I don't always respond so well when it relates to this. I guess I'm built just a little bit different than some other people. We may be inclined to discount what a person may be enduring and say to that person who's going through their storm, just have faith, or just pray about it, or it's going to be okay. My wife loves that phrase. It's going to be okay. There's more on that one here in just a second. The point that I'm trying to make with this phrase is that we may want to extend a bit more grace to others in their storm. Are storms comfortable? No. When in a storm, am I uncertain on how it will pass? Yes. Are storms scary? Some. When dealing with a storm, no matter the magnitude, do I believe that things are going to be okay? Yes. It's going to be okay. You always say that because it's always okay. How can I say that with such confidence? Think back to any storm, big or small, that you have ever weathered in the past. Anything that you have worried yourself even a little bit about or worried yourself sick about. Looking back, did God work things out for you? Yeah. And I can confidently say that fear and worry did nothing to help you make it to the other side. Think about it. All the fear and all the worry and all the times that you've stressed about something, has that ever helped your storm to go away faster? No. It did nothing to help you make it to the other side. You will be in storms this year, and it's going to be okay. Don't be afraid. Jesus knew a storm was coming, and yet he got into the boat and directed his disciples to do what? To get into the boat as well. And he said to them, we're going to the other side. He never promised the disciples an easy trip, but he did promise a guaranteed destination to where they were going. He says in verse 35, let us go to the other side. He doesn't tell his disciples, go to the other side and I'll meet up with you guys after a while. He says, let us, me and you, let us go to the other side. Friend, as a believer and a follower of Jesus, he has directed you to get into the boat, knowing that a storm is coming. Jesus' presence doesn't prevent the difficult situation. He never promised that it would. His promise is, let us go over to the other side. And when Jesus said, you're going to the other side, you are going to the other side. That'd be a good, who said amen earlier? That'd be a good place for that right there. I want to try that again. When Jesus says you're going to the other side, you are going to the other side. Amen. Right. And yet we still cry, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care that I'm going to die? Quiet. Be still. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Faith. Believing and trusting in what we cannot see, even what we can see. Faith must be tested before it can be trusted. A chair. Do I have faith that this chair is going to hold me up if I sit down on it? I tested it this morning. It did. That one over there too, and the one in my office, I've tested them and they do. How many times did I need to test that? Just once. Ever since I was a little boy, multiple times for over 50 years, I have trusted that chairs would hold me up. And I only needed to test a chair once. How many times do I need to test Jesus for me to trust him that it's going to be okay? How many times do I need the Savior of the world to hold me up before I'll be still and trust in his name? Verse 41 says they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Winds and waves don't think. Winds and waves don't make decisions. Yet they obey the Lord at his word. The wind and the waves were far more obedient to Jesus than the men who were in the boat with him. Their problem, like ours, was not the storm around them, but the unbelief within them. Actually, their unbelief was even more dangerous than the storm. The disciples failed this test of faith because they didn't take hold of Jesus and his word that he was going to the other side, that it was going to be okay. The disciples looked around and they saw danger. Looked within and they saw fear. But they failed to look up and see faith and see Jesus in the midst of their storm. Some of you are glad to see 2022 in your rear view mirror. And you're hoping for a much better, a less turbulent 2023. Most certainly, there are probably those of you who are here who may be weathering a storm right now. And you need a miracle. We also need more faith. I want to suggest three things that we can do, that you can do, that I can do to help yourself weather your storms so that your life can be different this year. Please don't forget these. I was going to make a little book card and print these up, bookmark, and I said, who reads books anymore? Nobody. If I could make an app where you could just push the button and it would come up with these three things here, whenever you're in a difficult situation, if somebody knows how to make an app like that, talk to me and we could do that, and then you just push the button. Whenever you're having a hard time, like a panic button, just push the button and see what you're supposed to do. Number one, be quiet. Be still. What is our natural reaction whenever we encounter a storm? Go crazy, get stressed. Be quiet. Be still. Storms will come your way this year. It is inevitable. Fear and worry will do nothing to help you make it to the other side. For fear and faith cannot live in the same heart. Let me say that again. Fear and faith cannot live in the same heart. If you have faith, there should be no fear there. If you have fear, there's probably no faith there. Fear and faith cannot live in the same heart. There was a song that was written years ago by Bill Gaither. I believe, help now my unbelief. Fear and faith cannot live in the same heart. The greatest problem that we have lies where? Lies within us, not around us. We are given the command in Psalms 46:10. Be what? Be still. And know that I am God. you will have storms. Look upon Jesus in the midst of your storms. The disciples, even they, with their little faith, they knew where to go for help. They ran to Jesus. And so do you. You know where to run for help. Run to Jesus. Be still and know that He is God and He's going to work everything out. It's going to be okay. Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. That passage doesn't say He took away all my problems. He took away all my storms. He delivered me from all of my fears. God Himself is with you in your boat, resting in perfect peace. Seek the Lord. He'll deliver you from all your fears. Be quiet. Be still. It's going to be okay. Number two. Grow your faith. Not all of the storms in your life will end soon. The Bible never guarantees this, nor can anyone else. Your cancer may not go away. The struggle that you have in your marriage may not end this year or anytime soon. The struggle that you have at work may not go away this year. As a believer, your confidence is not that these storms will end very soon, but that in the midst of the storms of your life, you will never be alone. God Himself will be with you every step in the midst of the storm. Believing that is faith. Faith is not having the confidence that storms won't come your way, because they will. Faith is the confidence that no matter what winds and waves come your way in 2023, the God of the universe will be right there in your boat with you. How will He be there? In perfect peace, sleeping. He's not a sleeping God, but you know what I mean from the passage. It's not stressful for Him. Faith. How do I grow in faith? Get grounded in God's words. I told you there are hundreds of examples in God's word where He tells, don't be afraid. Do not worry. Hundreds of times. Start believing in His promises and that His promises are true. If He says you're going to the other side, you are going to the other side. All right. Thank you. Everything that He has said, He has done. Everything. God's word and His promises are the things that you can be certain of 100% of the time. Number three. Keep sailing. Do you suppose that the fishermen who were out on the lake that day ceased to fish the day after this storm because of the possibility of another storm coming? You farmers, oh, it rained today. I don't think I'll go back out to the field tomorrow, or maybe you can't, but you understand what I'm saying. Do you stop living because of the likelihood of a storm coming up because of something might happen? No, you don't. You keep going. There's a children's movie titled The Good Dinosaur. In the story, a green apatosaurus named Arlo is trying to overcome his fears. He has a lot of them. He previously, in the scene before this picture, endured a ferocious storm that threatened his life and was now in danger of being attacked by a huge serpent. Another dinosaur from his camouflaged position in the forest observed Arlo's escape from this precarious situation And Arlo heard these words coming from the forest. Hello. With a look of fear and terror on his face. Hello. We've been watching you. We thought you were going to die. And then you didn't. We've been watching you. We thought you were going to die. And then you didn't. Think about this. When you're going through a storm, you may not realize that there are people watching you. In a world filled with despair, people are looking for anything or anyone to find hope. People who may be inspired by your journey that you're going through. And they'd be grateful if you keep sailing and don't give up. From your boat, you'll be able to proclaim, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The way in which you navigate your storm may just be the lifeline that others need to find hope and to keep on going themselves. Will your faith be stronger this year than last year? Be still. Grow your faith and keep sailing. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for being the Lord of the storm and the Lord of the calm. It's so easy in a scary, threatening, frightful situation to take our eyes off of you and focus upon our storm. The reality is, and we all know it if we dare to really think about it, we've been through every storm and we've made it over to the other side. Without pain? No. Without worry? Should be. But we've made it to the other side. Even when our eyes were not upon you, we made it to the other side. And Lord, help us this year. Help us to give us a better year by allowing us to remember these things when the storms of life come our way. To keep our eyes focused upon you and not the storm so much, knowing that there's a storm there, but knowing that, oh, the God of heaven and earth, the one who created the storm in the first place, he's right here in the boat with me in perfect peace. We give you thanks, Lord, for all that you do and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.